it just clicked for me. I was like, oh, it's not about the instant gratification and the engagement and the likes and the shares and all of that stuff. Like all of that is great to have. And we all should aspire to create more engagement and more reach and more expansion. But the thing with LinkedIn that gets me most excited is that your potential buyers are there, right? They're there for business and they're not typically social creatures. Like most of our clients never like, comment, or share anything. They consume. So the key is just creating and showing up and being consistent. And that's it.
Welcome to the Influence and Scale podcast, where content creators, marketers, and entrepreneurs learn how to increase their influence and scale their business using content marketing. My name is Tyler Basu, and alongside my business partner, Chuck Anderson, we'll be sharing proven strategies to help you grow your audience, create great content, and generate more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. Thanks so much for joining us. Now let's dive in. What's up? This is Tyler Basu. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Now, of all the social platforms that you could be focusing your energy on, if you're in the B2B market in particular, LinkedIn may be the best platform for reaching your target market and getting into conversations with potential clients and even potential referral partners for your business. And my guest on the show today has been at the forefront of using LinkedIn to market your business for about a decade now. And so he's tested pretty much every strategy you can think of for using LinkedIn to help promote your business. And in our conversation today, we dig into what he calls the LinkedIn linchpin method, which is a combination of using direct outreach plus content marketing to grow your network, but also showcase your expertise and create some sales opportunities for your products and services using this platform. And this will be particularly valuable for you if you're a service provider or a coach or a consultant, because that's the type of entrepreneur that his company specializes in helping. But even if you don't consider yourself a service provider, I still think you'll find value in this conversation. So on that note, we're going to dive right in. This is Trevor Turnbull from Expert Selling Machine on how to use LinkedIn to market your business. Well, Trevor, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the podcast. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you.
Yeah, you as well. This is going to be fun. I know we got a lot to catch up on.
For sure. And I'm excited to dive into the topic of LinkedIn with you, because this is one of the bigger platforms and one of the platforms that a lot of professionals in the B2B market in particular spend some time on. And you've been in this space for, what is it, like a decade now? Like how long, when did you first get started with LinkedIn marketing?
Yeah, that's starting to date me now, isn't it? But yeah, it has been 10 years. 2009 was when I kind of started actively using the platform and then creating training. By probably 2011, I would say, was kind of the early points of creating training around LinkedIn.
Yeah. And are you still as excited about it today as you were back then?
Well, it's, you know what, it's changed so much. And I think that's one of the things that frustrates people a lot, but it also creates opportunity to constantly be adapting. And of course, the last couple of months have created all kinds of like opportunities for pivots and ways to utilize the platform in different ways. So it's not even so much how the tool functions, but more like how you can most effectively use it. And it's been a fun ride the last couple of months. We're learning a lot and we're seeing some pretty amazing results from clients for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Can you tell me a bit about which type of entrepreneur are you guys working with? Just describe the ideal type of business owner that you're able to get good results for on LinkedIn.
Yeah. So we work with business owners and sales professionals and consultants and coaches right across the board through different like avenues of our business model. But the core audience that we serve is really the solopreneur, consultant, coach. They're marketing, they're selling, they're fulfilling, they're sweeping the floors, they're doing everything in between. So, you know, they have to figure out a way to not only get in front of their ideal target audience with a message that resonates and is compelling, but then figure out a way to get out of the process as well and essentially clone themselves. That's the biggest thing that we found that is needed by that audience, because they're busy, right? They're wearing a lot of hats. But they also value their reputation, and they want an authentic voice. If they are to outsource what they're doing on LinkedIn, they're not looking for the push button solution. Let's go spam my network and see what spits out the other end. It just doesn't align with them. So that's what we've mastered over the years and have really dialed in the last couple months as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're doing with these entrepreneurs is helping them with outbound marketing on LinkedIn specifically, right?
That's the primary focus, but okay. There's a big component of content strategy now that's looped into this. But I just actually published a video on this yesterday, Tyler, talking about you can prospect for new clients on LinkedIn, absolutely. And you can publish content on LinkedIn, absolutely. And if you do both, you just amplify your opportunities because it guides the buyer's journey, right? And we can dive as deep as you want into that because I literally had like a rant video on this yesterday. I was like, this is how this works. You can't do one without the other. But when you do them together, it's amazing what can actually happen. So it's a bit outbound. It's a bit inbound.
No, that's a good point. And I've definitely seen LinkedIn evolve in what people are using it for. I mean, once upon a time, it was the platform that you only really went on if you're updating your resume or looking for a job, right?
Yeah, totally.
But over the past couple of years, there's been a real push to get people producing content there. And in fact, if you compare it against other platforms, the reach that we get on content on LinkedIn is really, really powerful and sometimes better than other platforms where you got to pay if you want people to see your content. Would you agree with that? How have you seen it kind of evolve into a content platform over the past couple of years?
Yeah, well, I'll give you some context to this because I like to frame this in this way to say that I was a non-believer in content marketing up until about, well, really when you and I started talking was one of the triggers that kind of shifted my mindset on it. But also like December of last year, I have a mindset mentor in our program that's had asked me a question one day. She's like, you're telling people to publish content on LinkedIn to help them like generate better leads and all this stuff. And she's like, but you don't do it. And I was like, no, but like they should do it because I'm different because I've got an established list and all these things. She's like, you know, that's completely out of alignment with what you're telling people to do. So she called me out big time. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And here's what happened though, Tyler, is I spent, you know, I just started creating, right? So I you know, was taking things I was learning from you and creating different types of content, not just how-to content, but things that were more storytelling, like really digging into pain points and that type of thing. And I just started publishing, right? The first 2 weeks of January of this year, and nothing happened. So naturally, and this I'm speaking from the journey that other people go through too, is you think like, well, this isn't working. Like this is validating why I said I shouldn't do this. And then all of a sudden I got a message from a guy who said that, hey, I just saw that video that you posted on LinkedIn. It was about a 3-call sales process. He's like, that's interesting. He says, I think we should talk. I just got into a sales and marketing role and we're looking to do some of this stuff. Ended up on a call with them. He said, yeah, I've been in your email list for 3 years. Again, no idea that that was the case. And he ended up signing up with us and it's turning into what will be like $100,000 a year contract. And it just clicked for me. I was like, oh, it's not about the instant gratification and the engagement and the likes and the shares and all of that stuff. Like all of that is great to have. And we all should aspire to create more engagement and more reach and more expansion. But the thing with LinkedIn that gets me most excited is that your potential buyers are there, right? They're there for business and they're not typically social creatures. Like most of our clients never like, comment, or share anything they consume. So the key is just creating and showing up and being consistent. And that's it. So it's like this, like, you know, if the tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, does it still make a noise kind of analogy? And you got to just trust that, yes, it does still make a noise and it is a part of the process and it will lead to revenue. And that was a huge aha moment for me. And we've just been all in ever since.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I've experienced the same thing. I've had people that I had no idea they were seeing my posts or watching videos that I've put on LinkedIn until they sent me a direct message and said, I want to talk to you. Like, I want to work with you. Yeah. And we go straight from that message to call to client and it happens quick, but they were silently watching content without me knowing that for, you know, maybe a few weeks or a few months before they decided, hey, I want to reach out and I want to talk to you now. And I think that behavior is pretty typical on LinkedIn because there's a lot of executives spending their time there, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of CEOs. And like you said, they're not leaving comments and liking everything that you do, but they are paying attention. And then sometimes
Absolutely.
they just need to see you several times and then they reach out.
Yeah. I spoke about this in the video that I just published yesterday about the messy buyer's journey. I'm not sure if you've heard me talk about this before, but
No.
basically wrote an article like a year and a half ago on LinkedIn. Just I had this stream of consciousness of like, man, the buyer's journey is so hard to like pinpoint of like an exact linear path, especially with LinkedIn. If you're like, I'm going to reach out and connect with my prospects, they're going to accept it. They're going to see what I have to offer. They're going to get on a call and they're going to become a client. That's the perfect scenario. Very rarely happens. Usually it's like you reach out and you connect with somebody. They look at your profile and they're like, who the hell is this? And why? What do they have to sell me? Right? Instant guard up, right? Because this is what, you know, the whole idea of marketers ruin everything. People use these platforms incorrectly and then they kind of ruin it for everybody else. So that pattern of wondering that immediately puts up the guard, so we got to work through it. But the further scenario to that is they maybe dig in and they look and they see you've optimized your profile, so they do know who you serve, how you serve them, why they should trust you. They end up seeing some testimonial video on there, they end up on YouTube, and then they see some laughing baby video and they're gone. They forget about you, right? And then 2 months later they see some video because you're retargeting them on an ad perhaps. They sign up for a webinar. They don't show because they had to go pick up the kids from daycare, like this. And it just goes on and on and on
It's
and on, right?
not linear at
Not at
all.
all.
But what I think will never change is the number of touch points that
Yes.
somebody generally needs before they like you and trust you and are ready to work with you. Anybody that works in sales is taught this, like follow up, follow up, follow up. In B2B especially, I came across a stat that over 80% of sales in B2B happen after the eighth touch point.
Oh yeah.
So if you're giving up before then, you're leaving a lot of the money on the table. And what people don't realize is content is a touch point. You may
Yeah.
not actually ever send this person a direct message or send them one of those, hey, just checking in kind of contacts. Just be consistent with your content, putting out emails, putting out videos, putting out whatever. And then those count as touch points.
Yeah. Well, anybody that's listening to this that's kind of predates social media in your business life knows that how we used to sell, because my background was in sales. Like I learned sales by a sales manager who threw a phone book on my desk and said, best of luck, kid, right? Like, good luck. Go to
Nice.
networking events. But we used to sell, I used to sell signage, like billboards and that type of thing. And we sold it based on frequency and reach. It was the same thing with TV, it was the same thing with radio, right? So you get enough eyeballs on it and they see it enough times and you're touching them, right? That's all we're doing with LinkedIn too, and with content marketing is we're increasing the frequency and the reach and doing it in a personalized way, but you can do it online. So you don't need to pay for the billboard. You don't need to wonder if they actually saw it. You can actually put it right in front of them. That's the part that I think sinks for a lot of people if you use the analogies of like what used to work still works if you frame it in that way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's talk about sharing content on LinkedIn because it has gotten more crowded. A lot of people had kind of that first mover advantage when the moment LinkedIn started showing us and telling us that they want us to put content there, the people that did got really great reach on their content. LinkedIn Live came out not too long ago. I don't even think everyone has access to that still. It's still
No.
quite exclusive. So, there's some first mover advantage sort of environment for a lot of people right now. But for anyone that is feeling like it's already quite competitive, it's already quite noisy, there's other people in their industry are ahead of them on LinkedIn. They've got more followers, they're putting out more content. What does it take to stand out? Do you have any advice on how we can produce content that cuts through the noise on LinkedIn?
Yeah, absolutely. It actually ties into why I created the new methodology that I did in the last 2 months, as a result of everything that's happened with COVID and the economic situation and just everything, right? It's caused every business to pivot slightly. And the big aha moment that I had was, you know, we typically had two types of an approach that we took with direct messaging and then even content too. One was more open-ended question like, and the other one was more direct sales approach like. And we knew that like the direct sales approach works, but it also comes with a level of like kind of ickiness for people. And naturally so, right? If you're coming too quickly with salesy type content, it's not received properly, right? But at the same time, like I'm still a believer that you can't just constantly be asking questions and just creating value focused content forever. Eventually you got to ask for a sale or ask for an appointment or ask for something, right? So I got thinking, because our clients were saying, you know, how do we keep prospecting in this new environment that we're dealing with, where we're hearing the objections of like budgets on hold, you know, we just lost half of our clients. Sorry, we're cutting that contract. And the thing that I came up with was this LinkedIn linchpin method. And it goes towards creating content, whether it's publicly shared or even in the way that you do messaging. And really, like, it was inspired by the linchpin
method. Seth Godin.
Cool. By Seth Godin. Yeah. And one of my clients actually interviewed Seth recently, and he was talking about this whole idea of unapologetically sharing your gifts, which essentially is directly putting your expertise and what you have to offer in front of people. So I thought, like, how can we do this through LinkedIn, through content, through direct messaging? So I started to break down the linchpin method, the whole idea of like having somebody who has a desired result and you being able to connect them to that desired result through your expertise, you become the linchpin. So the content strategy became, let's do video in the format of what will actually resonate and get people to feel as though they're being heard and that they receive the message. So instead of going straight to the sales pitch, all I did was outline a four-step process of number one, vulnerability, be a human being. That's what's being lost in marketing a lot of times, is that everybody's thinking about the marketing message instead of actually thinking about trying to connect with people on a real relationship level. Two, being empathetic towards that person's current reality, because if you don't, they won't listen to you, especially now. Like, you have to understand what their current situation is. And then that allows you to go into the part that I call gratitude, which is the, again, unapologetically sharing your expertise and your gifts, which allows you to pitch. It might not be straight to the, like, here's what I have to buy, but it might be, hey, I've created a method or a solution or a something, a guide that I think you might find helpful. And here it is. That could be your call to action. By doing it that way, you're still doing a very direct sales approach, but you're doing it with two key elements of just humanizing your approach and allowing that person to feel as though you really care about their current reality and what you can help them achieve. And it's incredible, man. Like, if all videos that are created on LinkedIn are done in that kind of format, in that order, the message resonates with people. They get it, they hear it, and they ultimately want to know more because it comes from a very authentic place.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And you alluded to this earlier, but you started to recognize how powerful this is in the work that you've been doing with your clients, but not choosing either or strategy of, hey, we're just going to put value-driven content and never ask people for anything in return, never be intentional about the connection requests and growing the network. And then on the other side of that, there's just people that are just sending connection requests and it's just a numbers game. Hey, let's see who responds. Let's see who responds. So bringing those two things together creates kind of a snowball effect, right? Where if you do the outreach properly and that messaging is really personalized and tailored and not too salesy, where people just throw their guards up, and then you combine that with a really thoughtful content strategy, then now all these new connections that you're adding to your network on LinkedIn are seeing the new content that you're putting out on LinkedIn, and it just starts to snowball.
It does.
Did I do a decent job of explaining that, or could you?
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to add to that?
Because ultimately, you know, your original question was like, how, if you're not the early adopter or the early person into the platform that has the ability to just create reach because of the algorithm and everything else, or the influence that you have, how do you create that yourself? Well, like, because I can tell you from personal experience even too, like, whenever I publish content on LinkedIn, typically it doesn't get a massive reach or a ton of comments or a ton of likes. And obviously that's something we're continuing to figure out, right? Because you get all those pieces and now you're really cooking, right? But regardless, I know that if I put a really solid piece of content on LinkedIn and then I message my first degree network to go and check it out, and every connection request that I get accepted, I drive traffic to it as well. Mm-hmm. And I send my email list to it. That creates the traffic that I'm looking for. So I have the ability to actually boost the reach of my content by utilizing these other traffic sources. And everybody can do this, right? Even if you're starting from zero, first step, of course, and I know you work with your clients on this way too, is like, you need some core pieces of content to actually show that you're good at what you do and that you understand the real challenges that your audience has.
Right.
You got to show that you know your stuff. And then you can work towards building the audience, and then you combine the two. And now you've got the thing that you can just, it's a machine. You just keep connecting, keep messaging, keep creating.
Yeah.
Rinse and repeat. Just works.
On the side of initiating the new connection requests, are there any specific strategies there on how are we identifying the right people to reach out to? What is an initial message to them look like that doesn't have somebody scream like, oh, this is too salesy. No, thanks. Like, how can we initiate some real relationships with people and systematize that so that it's happening all the time?
Yeah. There's a couple of key things that, you know, there's no one answer that works on that, but these are the things that we found work best and what we do with our clients and what we do ourselves is, number one, you have to be crystal clear on the audience that you can best serve, and your profile needs to scream that. And when I say that, I say, if you say that we help consultants and coaches, it's typically too general. Like, what types of consultants and coaches do you help? You know, are they selling life coaching type services, or are they selling business to business services? If it's business to business, are they typically selling to Fortune 500 companies, or are they selling to other coaches? That kind of level of granularity, right? And there's lots of examples we can use there. But the whole point of that is that when you start to narrow down a lead list using like advanced search, Sales Navigator, that type of thing, and you identify who those people are, what we have been telling people to do and what we do right now is not even including a message in the connect request, because again, people started to ruin how that outreach was happening, right? People could see through the scripts a mile away. And as soon as you saw it, you're like, oh, this person's prospecting for business and I'm about to get a sales pitch. So they just tune out, right? So instead, what we've been doing is just the straight up connect, 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 connect. But we're monitoring, of course, who we're sending to so that we can see who's accepted. Then the immediate message that we found, and again, this typically only works if you have clarity on your audience and your offer, and you're really just trying to like amplify the reach of your message. And that would be to send them to a LinkedIn post that has this linchpin style type video that starts from authenticity with vulnerability, empathy, gratitude, and call to action kind of looped into that. And the call to action being to a content piece, and we just drive traffic straight to it. So if you think of it this way, it's like, optimize the profile, identify the list, connect with those people. As soon as they accept, the script looks like this. Hi, name, great to connect. Did you happen to see this video that I posted recently? Link to the LinkedIn post. In it, I explain, and then you talk about the big pain that you solve. And then you explain that here's the solution that I've created. So go check it out. I think you might find it valuable. I've been doing this steadily for the last 2 months. I think I've maybe received two people that have pushed back saying like, how dare you come at me with a straight, but for those two, there's 98 that have said, this is cool. Thank you so much for sharing this. Cause there's no opt-in.
Yeah.
There's no sales pitch. It's just literally leading with value, but massive value. It's like, look, this is our entire process. It's not a little taste where you got to go pay for the real thing. It's like, let me just give you our system. Here's how it works. Cause the thing that I've discovered too, is that, and this is over the last couple of years, but like, you know, transformation in your business happens from not only having the information, but ultimately being smart enough to know where you need to get out of the way and where you need to outsource or hire the experts to do it for you. So in our case, we give away everything. Like, you want to know exactly how we do what we do? It's all out there. Just message me. I'll send it to you. Most people should not be doing that themselves, and they know it. And business owners that are successful already will contact us and say, this is cool. Can you do it for us? Or can you do it with me?
Yeah.
And it works really well.
I think that's what people need help with the most is implementation. I mean, there's no shortage of information anymore, to the point where you could pick any topic on earth that you want to learn, and it's probably going to put you down a rabbit hole of information overload when you go to try to learn that topic. At the end of the day, we need things implemented, not necessarily just learned about, right?
No, I learned that really quickly when I decided to plant a garden here, because I was like, I'm not leaving my house for a while. I may as well have some peas and beans and some tomatoes and stuff. Holy man, that's a rabbit hole. But it's a perfect example of everything that we need access to is available. But if we don't have it in a nice tight package with a manual and then maybe even a couple of services inserted on the side to make it go even faster, then we just end up spinning our tires and then it becomes frustrating. And that's the kind of place that we all want to avoid.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And on that note, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about providing services because, you know, I would consider your team service providers because you do a lot of this work for your clients. The people that you serve are generally service providers. So they've got limits on their time, right? They're spending the majority of their week fulfilling on the service that they provide. So there's not a lot of room left in their calendar for that other stuff. And your team did some work for me and for my business partner, Chuck, as well. And I was really, really impressed with the whole fulfillment process because you and I had an initial call and you were talking about the strategy and the goals for a campaign on LinkedIn. And then from that point forward, your team was in full control. And you kind of had me on different calls with different specialists that own different parts of the process. So I would love to dig into some of the advice that you have for service providers on how they can get themselves out of the fulfillment process and still provide a good experience to their clients.
Yeah. Well, and this is like, I know we started off the conversation of this, like, hey, we got to book another call because, you know, even since you and I worked together to run LinkedIn campaigns for you guys, it's changed considerably. And this is the major thing. And you already kind of alluded to it. And I'm just reading off of our offer sheet, literally, for what we do with clients. But the thing that I realized in the last few months is that our clients are the best marketing and sales asset in their business, meaning that if you are selling a service as a solopreneur, they're buying you. They're buying your expertise. They're buying your unique process. They're buying your proven results, all of that stuff. You cannot replace the solopreneur. You just can't. It's impossible to fully replace them. If you as the solopreneur send a customized video message to a prospect, it's going to be way more impactful than if it's a script. But we have a finite amount of time because we are responsible for marketing and sales and fulfillments and sweeping the floors and everything in between. So the goal is really not to replace you, but to clone you. It's to clone your authentic voice. So the nuance, like basically what we've done in the last 5 years of offering this as a service is just continuously trial and erroring to figure out what is that magic sauce of what does the client need to do and what can we do to basically bolt on the and accelerate the process of generating sales opportunities. And it's always a mix. So if you think about when we first launch a campaign, and we're sending out messages, they're scripts, right? It's like connect with them, send a follow-up script. And then the replies that we get are all over the map, right? Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, people will be able to relate to this. Like LinkedIn has these default, like, thanks for sharing. And a lot of times people, that's where they end. They're like, well, what do I say now? You know? So like we've got a script, for example, within a week, we would send, hey, just circling back on this. I appreciate your comments. I would love to know, what did you think of the video that I sent you? Mm-hmm. Always another 20 to 30% responses coming back on it. Like, oh yeah, it was so great. Sorry, I never got back to you. Or, oh, you know what? I haven't had a chance to look at it. Thanks for letting me know. Hardly ever negative feedback. And again, the client doesn't have to do anything because we take care of it, right? But it's those instances where there's a conversation starting to go back and forth. And the client, the solopreneur, can start to see patterns and we can help them with this on like, what are the typical responses you get to this message? And if you start to see 10 that are kind of the same, mm-hmm. a lot of times we can script a response to take it off of the solopreneur's plate, essentially cloning their voice. There's never a 100% certainty that we can take every conversation off. But by the time we got to hand off a prospect or a lead, they're usually putting their hand up and saying, I'm interested in what you have to offer. And now we're in sales process, which is obviously at the next stage of like, all right, now there's 10 steps to that as well, right? This is the big aha moment that we've had is that all of that stuff needs to be implemented for every person that's selling themselves as a consultant or a coach. And the goal ultimately is to have that person be more in the sales side and eventually even remove themselves there. But more than anything, be delivering exceptional results for their clients. Because if they can focus a lot of their time in fulfillment and crushing it for their clients, That's what leads to referrals. And referrals are the easiest way to sell your services. We all know this, right? You get that warm referral. So we're basically creating the opportunity and the space for that person to go create those experiences. Because what happens, and you know this, we've been through this ourselves, even Tyler, is like, so you do lead gen because you're like, oh man, I need some leads. And then you get some leads and you get a bunch of sales calls, and then 9 out of 10 don't close and the 10th one does. And you're like, yes, now you got to fulfill. And you're so busy fulfilling, you stop lead gen. Mm-hmm. And then that client contract ends and you're back in the exact same spot. It's a big old hamster wheel. So the whole idea is you have to create a system to clone yourself. You got to clone yourself. That's the way out of the rat race.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of lead generation as like planting seeds, you should never stop planting the seeds.
Yeah.
Because if you're so busy with fulfillment and then you stop planting and then you wrap up with a client and okay, now you need to harvest, but you need to harvest from somebody else, but you haven't been doing any planting. Like there isn't really a shortcut. How do you shortcut that process of getting the right person to become aware of who you are and to know you and to like you and to trust you and all that stuff that needs to happen before they cut you a check, right?
And I love that analogy too, because something just came to mind. It's like, well, how do you shortcut that? Like, what if you stopped planting behind you as you were harvesting? Well, eventually it kind of stops. Mm-hmm. And in like the gardening planting world, you know, well, maybe that's like GMOs and like artificial type stuff that can help things grow faster, but we know it's not good for us, right? We know at the end of the day, it's actually hurting us. It's hurting our body. And the same analogy is true in business. If you go and hack your way to like, mm-hmm. say, forcing, you know, some sales opportunities, because you're like, I just need to get some more sales opportunities. What happens, in my opinion and experience, is you get somebody on a sales call too early and you end up with a terrible client. Not always, but 9 times out of 10, that's my experience, is like they haven't gone through the process of fully understanding how you can serve them and building that trust. The relationship is soured right from the very start.
Yeah.
So it just speaks to why this is such a passionate topic for both of us, because we know that it's not just the prospecting, it's also the content, and it's both. If you can get both dialed in, you've created the perfect storm.
I've definitely noticed a difference. Like I've taken calls with people before where it was somebody that I just recently connected with, offered to chat with them. We jumped on a call and it was premature because they showed up to that call not really knowing anything about my background, track record, who I've helped, what I've done. They hadn't consumed any of my content. So I was like, it felt like I had to sell myself on the call. And I'm not used to that, because not that I can't do it, but I shouldn't put myself in a position where I have to, because when I get on the phone with somebody that has consumed some content beforehand, it's like by the time they make it all the way to booking a call with me, that because there were filters that came before that, neither of us is having to sell ourselves. We're just trying to figure out if there's a fit and if we can help each other or not.
Yeah.
And it's a different conversation.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of materialized over the last few years too. And, you know, you and I have been in this space for a while and have known each other for a long time. So we've gone to trainings, we've been to conferences together, we've done things like that. And the whole idea of like the high ticket closer and like, let me teach you the skills to just go close business.
Right.
Like it doesn't feel good for most people. I'm not saying it doesn't work. It works. Like there's no doubt that there are strategies that you can use to close new business. And you can even do it in a way where it doesn't have to be icky. Like honestly, you know, high ticket closing doesn't mean forcing a sale. It just means helping somebody see their vision quickly on the phone to get the deal to happen, right? But I find that the trickle effect of doing that as your primary strategy, it just creates a bad experience in the longer term of that relationship, right? I'd much rather work with clients that are like the one I said before. They've been in my email list for 3 years. They've been consuming. Something caught their eye. There was a trigger in their life that said, I need to take action on this. It's time to talk about it. Now I'm on a call. They know who I am. They trust me. They see my process. They believe it could be the ticket to their solution. And then they enroll. And now they're invested, not just financially, but with everything, their time, their ability to, when you run through the ups and downs of like good days and bad days, they don't freak out. because that's the byproduct of it from an operations standpoint and fulfillment, is that the cost of trying to get a client to realign with what you're trying to do, yep, it far outweighs the ability to close a deal fast and bring in money. So it's usually a patience thing that a lot of times people really struggle with. It's like, I need clients now. It's like, all right, well, if you actually just took the time, and it doesn't need to be 3 years, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
It can happen pretty fast. I like to accelerate that journey of learning and understanding, but it's just a way better feeling way of getting business, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's leave people with some specific action steps here. And for the person who is starting from scratch on LinkedIn, let's pretend they have not put content there before and they don't have a ton of connections there. Like, what game plan would you give them for the next few months to set them up for building some momentum there and creating some sales opportunities there? And even before you give them those action steps, is there any criteria that would make them ready to tackle this in the first place?
Yeah. Well, I find that there's usually one of two buckets of people that we work with. And one is those people, those consultants and coaches that they know who they best serve. They've got their offer dialed in. They've sold it before. They've delivered results. They just need to start implementing this system that we just talked about here. And I'll talk about the action steps in a sec. But the other type of person is the one that's not exactly crystal clear. They're saying, I need leads, and I'm looking at them and I can go, and you don't even know what you're selling and to whom yet. You got to step back and you have to start looking at LinkedIn in a different way. LinkedIn can be an amazing research tool for you to go and figure out what people actually want and need, and then adapt your offer to actually sell them that thing. So the action steps that I would say would be this, Tyler, though, is, whenever people are asking, like, who should I be messaging first on LinkedIn? I always say, go to your past clients or your current clients and start utilizing the tool that way. And ideally, use something like Loom to be able to create custom videos. And I say those two because they're not always necessarily opportunities to generate business. Sometimes past clients could be clients again. So there is opportunities there. But it's more to get into the routine of, like, if you were to send a custom video to somebody, and you use like that approach that I talked about, authenticity or the vulnerability, empathy, gratitude, and a call to action, how would you do it? Because you need to kind of do it over and over again and get into a routine that feels good. Mm-hmm. Then you focus on your first degree network because you're already connected. It's a list, right? So you want to look at, like, who are the top 10 people that are on your lead list? Maybe they're people that you've actually done sales calls with in the past 2 months. That's where you start. It's just like sales follow-up, right? Like, when I go through my list, it's like, all right, who are the people I've talked to in the last 2 weeks that said that they were interested that just haven't, like, moved forward yet? They're number one. I'm following up with them every day, every second day. Then it's the ones that I did calls with who didn't necessarily say, yeah, I'm interested, but they didn't say no. They're next on the list. Then it's anybody that requested my guide. You know, maybe they left a comment on one of my posts on LinkedIn. They're next on the list. It's all about lead scoring, in my opinion. It's like, you want to know, did the person put their hand up? It comes back to the touches. So you got to monitor and track that stuff to know where your time is best served. And you just keep working your way down the list. Where is the priority where you should be spending your time? And then when should you be trying to get this off your plate and having the assistance of a virtual assistant, or outsourcing it to, like, a company like ours to take it over for you?
Okay.
So that's the main things. And hopefully that clarified things for people. Obviously the foundational piece is the profile, though. And I do have trainings on this. Like I said, anybody that's listening to this, you know, reach out to Tyler, reach out to myself. I'm happy to, I'll just send you what we have because I want people to be empowered to do this the right way. And then if it works and there's a fit for us to help, like, bolt on an accelerated done with you type process, then let's do it. And, you know, with what we do and then even what you guys do in content creation, I feel like it's everything that these types of people need to really get the kind of results that they're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. Is there anything we didn't touch on? Any last words of advice that you want to wrap up with? Maybe a mistake to avoid or a specific step people can do right away to help set them up for success?
Yeah, I think, you know what, we didn't even dive into this side of it, but if I was to say the one thing that is most critical to actually making LinkedIn work, it's One thing. That's it. One thing. Focus on one thing at a time. Okay. People overcomplicate everything. I have a mindset mentor in my program that works with our clients. And we actually do a public mastermind on this too. That's just about like habit building and like dealing with the overwhelm and the wearing of all the hats and stuff. And the answer is always one thing. Now there's a lot of pieces to that of like, how do we build good habits? How do we create affirmations that actually get us to believe that the work that we're doing is worthy, that we're worthy of the money? But it always comes back to one thing. It's like, just chip away at it. Don't try and do everything all at once, because that's where people get bogged down, frustrated.
Yeah.
I use the example at the start. When you start creating content, publishing content, and you don't get that instant gratification of the like, the comment, the share, and the client, don't stop. Keep going. You have to be consistent with this stuff. That's the most important thing.
We can't just do it for one or two weeks.
I've learned this the hard way, man. I speak from personal experience, because I am an example of our perfect client. I've been through all this stuff. I've fell on my face. I've been impatient. I've tried all the hacks. I've screwed up more times than I can count. I know what works. And a lot of times the biggest thing I got to coach myself on is to be patient. So I'm in the same boat as everybody else listening here. Still human.
There's power in consistency. That's for sure. What are you most excited about right now? Like what's next for you? You know, where do you see you and your business evolving over the next little bit? If you could just want to share what priorities you've got or what direction you're going in, and then we'll wrap up there.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I'm excited about is the program that we have, which is called the Expert Selling Machine. It's evolved to be a real blessing as to what's transpired here. So just really quickly, like 2 months ago, I opened up a group coaching program with the intent on selling 40 seats. I sold 6. You can blame part of it on COVID. You can blame part of it on my marketing approach, the offer, whatever you want, but what a blessing that was. We ended up with a group of 6 people in a pod that allowed us to integrate like a mastermind hot seat style that ended up being exactly what they needed. So we took what we learned from that and we integrated it into our program, where we now do things in pods, because we know that the transformation for people happens in a group environment where you can learn from other people and what they're experiencing. It accelerates the process. So that is super exciting for me, man, because honestly, it feels like it was a major breakthrough that we had that should have been so obvious 2 years ago to me, but I wasn't ready for it. I always thought that group coaching would never be as effective as one-on-one, but I found it's actually 2 to 5 times more effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through programs like that, and in many cases, I didn't even claim a lot of the one-on-one calls that I paid for, because I was getting value just being part of a group. Like, yeah. There was motivation there. There was accountability there. There was other people in the group answering questions that I had. And there was just so much value in that group dynamic, like you said.
Yeah. And I found that it is a sweet spot, you know, like, I don't know if it's just 6, it can be bigger too, but you know, you get too big and there starts to be this element where you lose the personal touch, right? Your question doesn't get heard. It doesn't get responded to. Like, by having a small group like that, I find our clients are answering questions that we normally used to have to field. So all of a sudden, like from our side, from an operations and a costing standpoint, our costs have gone down and our client results are getting better. It's been pretty incredible, man. So that's definitely what I'm most excited about. And we have COVID and all this stuff and people's willingness to jump on Zoom calls to thank for this. Like it's been pretty cool to see, you know, amidst all of the bad stuff that's been happening. That's definitely one of the bright spots for me.
Cool. Well, Trevor, this has been a pleasure, man. We've covered quite a bit here. I appreciate you being generous with your time and sharing so much helpful advice for those of us that are using LinkedIn to grow our business. So appreciate you, man. And wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to the Influence on Scale podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for show notes, links to resources mentioned, or to learn about how our agency can help you implement a profitable content marketing strategy, visit influenceandscale.com/podcast.